Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Who's here for the first time? Anybody? Welcome. Amen. Who watched the rugby yesterday? Ah. There we go. Well, I must be honest, I'm quite blessed that I still have a voice to preach today. It was close. It was very close. But it was wonderful, amen. God blessed us. And God blessed us as a nation. Amen. We can truly say that we are the best in the world at rugby. Amen. Amen. All right. Some of you were at the baptism that we had yesterday. Can I just see who was there? All right. For those of you that was there, you know that yesterday we also had a small little celebration because this ministry this year is 20 years old, and that's quite a milestone. And you know what? Yesterday I was talking to people. People came and spoke to me about the ministry, where it started, and it got me thinking. And today I want to start off with this scripture. Actually, this is probably the scripture that I'm going to be using today. It's from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to read it to you again. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And you know, when I look at this ministry and I look at my life, then I can truly say that this scripture is a very, very good representation of how God worked in my life. When I grew up, I never ever expected to be involved in any kind of ministry. When I grew up, I was afraid of speaking to people, never mind speaking to people about God. If I had a fear of speaking to people, then it would be this high. If I had a fear of speaking to people about God, it reached all the way up to the heavens. I will never forget, we used to be in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, every now and then, they had this clever idea that one of us would have to open in prayer or close in prayer. And I used to try and figure out where the guy is going to choose for somebody to open so that I will not be sitting on that side, I will be sitting on that side. Invariably, now and then, they would happen to choose me. And I tell you what, it was normally, it felt to me like the earth would open up and swallow me in because I couldn't get the words out. I would get heart palpitations. Everything would start going all funny. I would go all faint all over. And I can't even tell you what came out of my mouth. I just remember at some point in time, I would say amen and get out of there as quickly as possible, you know. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind is conceived. You see, when we come down to the earth, God has a plan for our life. Now, my understanding of how this works is simple. We come from God and we return to God. And when we were with God, we were given certain instructions. God created us for something very, very specific. You know, the Bible says there are different gifts, but one giver. God puts certain gifts in certain people based on what God sent them to the earth to accomplish. The problem is, especially in this day and age, very few people come to the place where they have a relationship with God as such that they begin to truly discover what the gift inside of them is. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean that the gift is operational. You know, you can have a gift, you can go through 60, 70, 80 years of life, and it never once fired. Nothing happened. Because other than a talent, which is something that we can work at, and we can develop a talent, and we can get better and better and better, a gift that comes from God is, in a sense, ignited by God only. You cannot have a man or a woman or even a church activate that gift. God is the one that activates that gift. The Bible says God gives as He wills. Now, this is where it becomes interesting, because as we are sitting here, as I'm standing here, the question has to be begged, what is still inside of me that my eye hasn't seen, my ear hasn't heard? What has never even entered my mind that God has destined for me? You know, this is why we always have hope. Because you cannot sit here and say to me today where I am now, I've reached my ceiling. I want to remind you, no eye has seen. Look at your neighbor and say, not yours, not mine. No ear has heard, and I'm not talking about your husband being deaf again. You know, it's like, no mind has conceived. There are things that God says to you today, you haven't even thought about these things, but I have planned them for you. Sometimes we sit in a situation where we feel that our life is really dismal. How many times do people want to give up because they cannot see that things are going to get better? I want to help you out. Yes, you cannot see it because God is hiding it from you, but it's there. Getting back to my life. I grew up very religious, if I could put it to you that way. If you've heard my testimony, I used to pray every single day. But I never had a relationship with God from that point of view. I just prayed because I was afraid that if I don't pray, I was in trouble. You know, I was motivated by fear, not motivated by my love for God, which is a problem. I was afraid if I do not pray and I die, I might go to hell, you know, as if that little prayer is going to take me to heaven. But that was my limited understanding of how things worked. I read the Bible every single day. But I cannot tell you that I ever really understood much of what I read. I just read it because it made me feel better. You know, at least I've read the Bible, you know. I did not engage in any religious conversation. When people started talking about God, I used to excuse myself and disappear. And who was to know that there would be a time when I would stand in front of people and say that today, well, not really today, but this year is the 20th year that I'm in full-time ministry. And, you know, well, we give God the glory and we give God the praise. I had my 30-year anniversary, you know, of leaving school this year. And so normally I don't attend these things, but this year I felt like it would be really nice to see the guys and see, you know, what everybody has done. And I can tell you, the one person that I think really flabbergasts everybody there is me. Because the people that grew up with me, the people that were at school with me, the people that knew me intimately back in the day. I went to school just across the road here in Fockle. I used to attend there. I was talking to him yesterday and he also used to go there. And it was a rough place, you know. It's worse now, but even back then, you know, we always used to joke we would lose the game, but we would win the fight, you know. That's the way it was there. It was a really tough school. It was a really rough school. And there was a lot of very naughty oaks there, of which I was one of the naughtiest. And imagine the confusion of these people when they hear, not only did I become a pastor, but after 20 years, I'm still one. Because in their experience of who I was, that would be an absolute impossibility. But you see, again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, the person that they got to know was the person that had not yet met Christ and discovered who He is in Christ. Every one of us, we are two different people. When you come to this world, you are born into a family, you are born into a culture, and you take on the role that you have to fulfill within that family and in that culture, but you don't necessarily know yet who God created you to be. For that to happen, you got to meet with God. You got to have an encounter with God. You know, the Apostle Paul believed that it was his God-given destiny to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. And he was sold out to that conviction, and he did everything he could to be excellent at achieving his goal of eradicating the church. You know, sometimes you have to believe God has a sense of humor, because the one man that believed his call is to destroy the church became the man that built the church. Once again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What has not been conceived in the mind of man, God has prepared for those who love Him. And it's amazing when you look back over 20 years to see what God has accomplished and what God has done, and to understand that there was no way in my own self that I would ever have dreamt any of this. Why am I saying this to you? Because I am aware of the fact that a lot of us, we come to a place in our life where we feel very hopeless. We feel despondent. We feel dejected. We are in the pit of despair, and the enemy convinces us that this is it. This is your ceiling. This is as far as it goes. This is as good as it gets. Make peace with the fact that you're a loser. You're always going to battle. Things are never going to get any better. People will never respect you, and so forth and so on. But you see, let me help you to understand, because what this scripture says to you and me, this scripture says to the devil as well, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, right now, you probably got some devil giving you a hard time. Why do people stop running the race? Because of pressure. Where does the pressure come from? Well, to some extent, we can say it comes from people. You know, nobody respects me, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, etc., etc. But there's something behind that. There's a voice that speaks sometimes through your boss, sometimes through your wife, sometimes through your husband, sometimes through your children. The enemy knows what buttons to push to make you despondent, to bring you to a place that you say, you know what, this is all a load of rubbish. I don't even know why I'm going to church, because it makes no difference. Things never get any better. What's he trying to do? He's trying to stop you from running that race. Why? Because even though he doesn't know what God put inside of you, he knows when you start discovering it and God begins to activate it, things begin to change quite drastically. And you know, when things change in your life, things tend to change in the lives of the people around you, because God blesses us with the ability to influence one another. So a godly change in one person can lead to a godly change in 1,000 people. So the enemy's best defense is to try and just cut you out, to try and just stop you. And so I want to say to you, if you're sitting here and you have this feeling that it's just too much for you, things are just never going to change. If you have this voice that likes to speak to you and say to you, why do you even bother? Don't you see nothing has changed in the last 5 or 10 years? Then I want you to answer that voice and say, hey, let me help you to understand something. Listen to what my God says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what I and you can't even fathom, God has prepared for me. I had no idea in give or take 1994 that I would be in a church one day minding my own business, trying to be as what's that word when you like trying to just blend in and not be noticed? What's that word? Inconspicuous. I was trying to be as inconspicuous as possible. I was trying to be like this wall-mounted statue there at the back, you know, like, I'm here, but I'm not here. I had no idea that that day God was going to do something in my life that would blow my mind. God was going to introduce me to a couple of the things that He meant when He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. Because you see, I was sitting in that church that day and I didn't really want to be there. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really want to be there. I had other places that I could have been, but I was there. So now I'm making the best of it. I'm sitting there. I'm preparing to do what I used to do in church. I'm going to count the lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to count the bricks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many hats in the church today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I had this really, let's call it rude awakening. The gentleman that began to preach that day had something that came into that church with him. Something that my spirit knew, but my mind didn't. My heart didn't understand. That man that preached in the church that day was filled with the Spirit of God. And the words that he spoke didn't speak to my mind. The words that he spoke spoke to my heart, and they spoke to my spirit. And when he spoke, something in me came alive. I can't explain it to you. If you've never experienced it, probably it doesn't make sense to you, but then you must at least hear that it exists. While this man was talking, something began to happen to me. It felt like something started rising up inside of me. I started getting heart palpitations. I started feeling hot. I started feeling strange, almost like something was growing inside of me. I was sitting there thinking in my mind, I'm going crazy, because these things don't happen. And I want to make it very clear that I didn't snort anything or sniff anything or you know, smoke anything weird before I went to church. I was 100% completely sober. And I'm sitting in the church and these funny things begin to happen to me. And I remember thinking to myself, I have to get out of here. Have you ever had the feeling that you're in the twilight zone? Okay, this was me sitting in the church thinking, man, I'm in the twilight zone. Something here is very weird. I have to get out of here. And I decided to get out of there. And you know what happened? Nothing. Because when I tried to get up, I couldn't. It was like something had locked me on the chair. If you think I was a bit stressed before, when I tried to move and I couldn't, I was losing it completely. I tell you what, I was flipping out in my mind. How is this possible? Everything seems to be working, yet nothing is working. I was if I was sitting, yeah, the door was right there. I was right in the corner, and there's the door. I just have to, 1-2 steps out. I couldn't do that. And so God began with my life. That day I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I'd heard about the Holy Spirit before. I'd never experienced the Holy Spirit before. You know, I come from a church background where the Holy Spirit was something we confessed. When we get up after service and we say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We professed it. We didn't know what we were talking about. And most churches are still in the same position. They don't know the person that they are talking about. You see, my friend, the Holy Spirit is crucially important in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that allows you to move in the power of God. That reveals to you what we're talking about here. No eye has heard. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, it began to change my understanding of the Word of God. I said to you earlier on that I used to read the Bible, but I never really understood much of what was going on in the Bible. I'm not talking about the historical books like the Book of Kings and that. It's fairly straightforward. It's stories. That makes sense. But you take me to the New Testament. You took me to a place where Paul wrote something. I'm like, what? You know, sometimes you have the feeling Paul was smoking something because, yes, this stuff is... Even Peter says to Paul, your teachings are hard. What Peter is really saying to Paul is, we don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. But you see, without the Holy Spirit, it makes no sense. But then when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He gives you the ability to understand spiritual things. Because the Bible says, and it actually says here in the same passage where I'm reading, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, listen to the man without the Spirit. It says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 14. The man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, if you are in a place where the Spirit of God is doing something and the Spirit of God has not filled you yet, you will be very hesitant. You'll be like, no, that's nonsense. That's rubbish. That can't be like that. God doesn't do stuff like that. And then he says, for they are foolishness unto him. How many times have I heard people in the last 20 years say, this is rubbish? And then we have to forgive you because... And I'm not referring to any of you. I'm not referring to the people that say that. We have to forgive that person because we understand that that person cannot know, because that person will never know until they don't receive the same Spirit. Religious spirits never understand the Holy Spirit. And the church is full of religious spirits. We spoke about it last week. For they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you do not have spiritual discernment, a lot of things that happen in a spirit-filled church will never make sense to you. And that day God decided it's time for me to get with the program, because God's going to take my life in a completely new direction, and unless I get some equipping, it's never going to work. That day I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the most amazing experience that I ever had. Yeah, I want to say something. A lot of people have a big problem when people get slain in the Spirit. Oh, it's the devil. Oh, God will never do this. God will never do that. Well, I want to tell you something. We're very presumptuous if we think that we know what God is going to do, because he says, yeah, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. People like to put God in a box and say God can only work this way, that way, or that way. And then when he works in a way that doesn't make sense to them, it's rubbish, it's nonsense, it's ludicrous, it cannot be that way. Well, you know, the Bible has another thing to say about things. It says, if you want to see the origin, test the fruit. Test the fruit. The Bible warns us that many false prophets are going to go out into the world, but we will know them by their fruit. Okay. Now, why is that important? Because, yes, we do have to test the spirits. But you, when you test a spirit, if you can see there is fruit, there is salvation that follows that ministry, there is healing that follows that ministry, there is repentance that follows that ministry, there is godly change that follows that ministry, then you have to acknowledge that there is godly fruit. And if you cannot acknowledge that, then you are in a very dangerous position, because the Bible also says there is only one sin that will not be forgiven man. It is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. The other day I read this whole big thing on Facebook. Somebody tagged me in something. Probably they're trying to tell me something. And it was all about how when you go to churches where people fall over, it's the devil and you must get out of there and who knows what. And you know what? I don't really answer on things like that, because I don't believe that Facebook is the right place for you to have discussions about that. But it makes me sad, because people speak without knowing. People speak without ever having had the opportunity to truly test the fruit of a ministry. Getting back to my life, what changed my life? I was in an Engie Kerk where the power of God exploded, where I was pinned to the floor for 4 hours, which makes no sense to nobody. Which a lot of people will say to me, but, oh, what's the purpose of that? Me standing here today, that was the purpose of that. Me being in ministry for 20 years today, that was the purpose of that. God coming into my life and changing my life, that was the purpose of that. You know, it doesn't always have to make sense to your mind. Because when God is busy with something, it's above us. And let me teach you something. God doesn't have to explain himself to you. He's God. Does the potter tell the pot why he makes him a certain shape? No. He makes it that way because he wants to. Because he has a purpose for that shaped pot. Unless you're smiling right now. Yeah, I know you're a weird shaped pot, but God has a purpose for your life. And so, you know, I look back at 20 years of being in ministry, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed that I experienced amazing things that I do believe everybody in ministry can experience, but we have to come to a place that we allow the wind of God to move. We must allow the breath of the Almighty to breathe. We must allow the living water to flow. Because here's the thing. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Everybody has something in them that we don't know about right now. And even me, where I am in my life right now, there's a lot of things in me that I haven't discovered yet that in time God's going to reveal to me. That's what makes life exciting. That's what makes this race worth running, because you can never say, I've reached the end. No. New things are about to happen. Bigger things are about to come. Breakthroughs are just around the next corner. Why? Because the Bible says so. But all of these things are coupled to something. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Do you hear that? Everybody, how many times when in the last 20 years, if I have to give you a number of people asking me, Pastor, what? How do I know my purpose? How do I discover my destiny? It must be 10,000. Sometimes it's 5 a day. Now listen to this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Do you want to know why so many people don't know where they're going, what their purpose is, why so many people cruise endlessly through life or aimlessly through life and never really get anywhere? Because of this. Because the only way for you to know, the fortune teller is not going to tell you. And that's what a lot of people do. They're in churches where they don't get revelation, so they go to the occult to get some revelation, because there must be something more to my life. To some extent, I'm not saying what the people are doing is right, but I sort of understand why people sometimes go to stupid things, because the church where they are is not meeting that need. If you do not have the Spirit of God in a church, nobody's going to know nothing. If you do not have the Spirit of God in your life, you will not know nothing. Because the things of God can only be revealed by God. And the things of God are revealed by God through His Holy Spirit only. And if the Spirit of God is not involved, you're going to get no revelation. And there's actually a scripture in the Old Testament that says, where there is no revelation, actually it says vision, but the word there means revelation. Where there is no vision, my people perish. Do you know why churches are closing down left, right, and center? And you know what I'm talking about. You in the property game. You must have an idea how many churches are closing down. You probably don't want to tell us because you're going to freak us all out. But I have a fairly good idea. You know, in the area, just in the area where I am staying, I think probably 5 or 6 big foundational churches are all gone. There's nothing left of them. Can I tell you why there's nothing left of them? Because without vision, my people perish. What is vision? Vision is revelation. It's where God speaks. There's a difference that happens when God speaks and when man speaks. When man speaks, things will fall apart. When God speaks, things will come to pass. When God speaks, there's a demonstration of power. When God speaks, there's life. You take all of that away and you put man in charge after 20, 30, 40 years, it falls flat. There's nothing left. There's a church in my area now that's for sale. You and I were talking about it yesterday. It's for sale for 3 million rand. Man, if I had the 3 million, I would go buy it tomorrow. It's a beautiful place. But the sad thing for me is it's for sale. They had to close their doors. I went to see the church and I spoke to the lady that showed me. And you know, she was crying when she told me that there was less than 10 people a Sunday sitting in that church. There's nothing left. Then I have to ask the question, was God there? Was God there? No. Because if God was there, there would be revelation. If God was there, there would be power. If God was there, there would be life. What did Jesus say would happen when the Holy Spirit fills people? Somebody help me. John 7:37. Streams of living water will come gushing. That's just a nice way of saying violently flowing from your bellies. If living water flows from every person in a congregation, do not tell me that there will not be life, because there will. But that only comes when the living water flows, and it flows through, once again, the Holy Spirit of God. Churches that will not open themselves up to allowing the Spirit of God to move and to flow are doomed to extinction. Because man cannot give life to the body of Christ. The Spirit of God gives life to the body of Christ. Amen. Listen to this. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. These things that we're talking about, the things that we don't know right now, my purpose, my destiny, my giftings, all of the things, what's locked up inside of me, the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal it to you. Then he goes on and he says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. How's that? There are some deep things pertaining to your life that is hidden in Christ, that the Spirit of God is the only one that has access to. Therefore, He is the only one that can reveal to you what God knows about you. When you came down to this earth, your spirit knew exactly what your purpose and your destiny was to come to earth to accomplish. But in the process of being born into this world, it's wiped away. Your mind doesn't know what your spirit knows. Through the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you, the conscious part of you, what the spirit part of you already knows. You know, I want to put it to you this way. It's not that inconceivable that we have people in this world. I'm speaking sort of figuratively. But they built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're supposed to be warriors. They've got an arsenal hanging around them. They are lethal. But the devil has them sitting behind a little desk, click, 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 clicking on a computer or something like that, when they should be walking in the front lines, when they should be in a ministry where they are taking out the forces of darkness. We have other people that when we look at them, there are scrolls all around them. And in these scrolls are the mysteries of the kingdom of God, revelation that will blow your mind. They are called to be teachers of the word of God. Instead, they are teaching people stupid things because they're involved in worldliness. Do you get where I'm going with this? You see, your spirit is already prepared. Your spirit already knows. You know, when you came, if you were placed here to be an evangelist, you are an evangelist. It's all in you already. If you were placed here to be a servant, you have everything needed to be a brilliant servant. If you were placed here to be involved in warfare, then I want to tell you something, you are a warrior of note. But you don't know it. It has to be revealed to you. And the gifting that is within you, you can't go through positive thinking, hypnosis, etc., etc., to try and get it to switch on, because the devil can't switch on what belongs to God. God is the only one that can switch on what belongs to God. And you have to get to a place where the power of God moves. When I was in that church in 1994, I'm going to be honest with you, my mind, this was my experience. Firstly, with what happened to me when the oak was preaching, like feeling like heart palpitations and feeling hot and weird and, you know, things happening, like I feel like I'm swelling up. That freaked me out. I didn't want to be there. My flesh said, ooh, this is not for me. The door's right there, go. And then when I couldn't get up and I couldn't leave, I was like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, this is really not for me. My flesh didn't like what I experienced. But guess what? My flesh didn't know nothing. Because by the grace of God, God kept me there. And when the time was right, God's hand was released, and I was like, boink, I got up. And I came under the power of the Holy Spirit. For 4 hours, I was on that floor. What was God doing with me? I can't tell you. Till today, I don't know. But what I want to tell you is when I got up off the floor, I felt different. I spoke different. I reasoned different. I understood things different. And the Bible made sense. The Bible made sense. God began to speak to me through His Word, which never happened. I was 24 years old when that happened. In 24 years, the Bible never spoke much to me. From that day on, it never ceased to speak to me. Spiritual things began to make sense to me. Why? Because the Bible says spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. My spirit was never switched on to the things of the Spirit of God. Now it was. Now things made sense in a different way. And I was suddenly open to the things of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. Your flesh is... your flesh doesn't want nothing to do with the things of the Spirit of God. But your spirit, once it gets energized, once it receives the power of God, once God flips that switch inside, your spirit wants more and more and more. And it needs it. Jesus uses a nice word. Living water. How long can you live without water? How many? The expert has spoken. 3 days. Now how dead are we if we are 30 or 40 years old and we've never really been filled with the Holy Spirit? Your spirit is dead. Your flesh is pushing you forward, but your spirit is doing nothing. Why? Because it's got no power. It's got no energy. It's got no life. Now people say, oh, you only have to experience these things once. No. The disciples received their first infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were together in a plain somewhere. They were busy worshiping God. Suddenly the heavens opened. The fire of God came down, rested upon them. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Spirit of God and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That was the first infilling. Then you go on. I think it's in the book of Acts chapter 4. They were together in a room. They were worshiping God. The foundations began to shake and they were all filled with the Spirit of God. Did it only happen twice? No, my friend. This was an ongoing occurrence in their lives because you need to be, whatever you give out must be replenished. God can't put everything in you at once. You can't contain it. God gives little by little. And as you go, you use up what you were given, but then you have to be filled again. The disciples had many infillings of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly, as often as possible. Why? Because I can't give you what I haven't received. Amen? Some of you know that I went to TB Joshua in, I think it was the year 2000. Could have been 2001, what? Interesting stuff, eh? I went there to go and see. I went there in the same time that, let's just say, he had a lot of notoriety in South Africa. A lot of people didn't like him. There was a guy by the name of Willem Basson that went there for healing, and he didn't pray for him, and the gentleman passed away, and then everybody was like crucifying him. First thing I want to say to that is, man doesn't choose who gets healed. God chooses who gets healed. If you did not get healed, there's nothing no man can do for you. God is the healer. And I do believe that that whole thing was taken completely out of context. Now, I went there Because I had began to experience the power of God. I had began to experience supernatural things. But what I heard and what I read about here was just on a completely different level. And I wanted to go and see for myself. And boy, did I see. My goodness, I want to tell you something. If I did not have a family, if my son wasn't 2 years old, Matthew, where is he now? He's somewhere there. Okay. Matthew was 2 years old when I went there. If it wasn't for Matthew being around and all of that, there's a very good chance I would have just stayed right there. Do you know, when you walked in that place, you literally felt like you were walking on holy ground. And you had this feeling that anything can happen at any time. It's mind-blowing. I don't know how things are there now. I've watched some of his stuff lately, and it looks like things have changed quite a lot. I'm talking 20 years ago. The church was like a bit of an outbuilding, but it was big. It had a zinc roof, which was about this high. You could touch it. It's on the equator. Now you can understand how hot it was in there. I tell you what, you sweat a lot there. I think that 1 week that I was there, I lost like 10 kilograms. And back then, I wasn't very big. There are these little wooden benches. There's no back for your, what do you call it? There's no support. It's like a narrow little bench like that. And they cram in there. They're like sardines. Now, you got the heat coming from there. You got the heat coming from there and from there, from there and from there. It's mind-blowing. But can I tell you what? They sit there from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. Nobody moves. They have worship 20 times a day, minimum. And everybody's excited and everybody's jumping up and down and everybody's worshiping. Don't you tell me that God won't do miracles in a setting like that. Because people are making a sacrifice to see God. People are giving of themselves to the kingdom of God. They have people helping everywhere. It looks like something is going to happen to somebody. There's a whole ministry team that rocks up there that deals with the problem. The band is like all excited and worshiping God. The other pastors are walking around and attending to people. It was amazing. It's something that you do not see in South Africa because down here our mentality is not right. Now, talk about miracles. You've probably heard me talk about this before. I do want to say that I'm not going to say that I'm a skeptic, but probably I am. Because too many people claim to be healed and this and that and that. But, you know, you can't see nothing. You know, I've been to Benny Hinn's crusades many times. They bring a person there. This one was just healed of cancer. This one was just healed of this. This one was just healed of that. But you never see it happen like right there. You told it happened. Did it or didn't it? I can't say. I don't know. Is there any proof that the person was healed, or is it just the fact that the person is saying that they were healed? It's very difficult to say. But I tell you what, when I walked into that man's church, it happened in front of your eyes. The blind eyes, they opened right in front of you. The cripple, they jump up out of their wheelchairs. Then their bones look like toothpicks because they were born without tendons, without, you know, who knows, whatever. This is no fabrication. And you feel it's like electricity in that church. It's like the whole time. You feel the power of God there. I shared with you there was a woman that went there. She had tumors behind her eyeballs. And the eyeballs were protruding completely outside of the eye sockets. It looked like you took two golf balls and put it outside of her eye sockets. But it wasn't golf balls, it was her eyes. They were bloodshot, they were red. They looked horrible. She looked like a cartoon character. Did you ever see that movie, The Mask, when his eyeballs pop out? Twink. She looked like that. He walked up to her, he stretched out his hand, he did his thing, wada, 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 wada. The next moment, both eyeballs at the same time, jumped back in. I was standing literally here looking at it. And while I was looking at it, jumped back. When the eyes jumped back, I jumped back. And I started jumping up and down, praising God. I had never seen anything like that in my life. And it's impossible to fake. It's impossible, let me tell you. There was a woman that came in there with cancer of the lips. In Nigeria, they call everything cancer. It's probably not cancer. It could be all sorts of things, or it could be cancer. But their terminology for something that looks weird, it's cancer. Now, nobody's going to argue, because if you see what this woman looked like, my goodness, her lips were massive. You know, when you look at the desert and there's that cracked ground, her lips looked like that. Her lips were literally about that size, like looked like big Russians sitting here, and they were popped open and the pus was running out. She looked like a cartoon character. She couldn't talk at all. They fed her through a straw because she couldn't eat anything. She was in severe pain. Her skin was completely discolored from the stress of everything swelling up. Her whole front of her face was like out like that. Pray for her. What? Again, and you know the nice thing about him, he took me and he let me walk with him. So I'm like, wherever he goes, I'm checking. So yeah, he's praying and I'm looking at this. And the next moment this woman goes forward. And as she goes forward, the pieces begin to fall off her lips. In front of my face, the pieces begin to fall off. For 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, she got up. Her face was normal. But there was one more thing. He says, the problem with this woman is in her throat. She has a tumor in her throat that's causing this. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit revealed this to him. And he says, out. When he pulled, her whole body came after him as if he had taken something and pulled it. As she came, she vomited. It looked like raw liver that came out of her. It was a tumor. It fell down there on the floor in front of me. I had nothing to say. I jumped up and down. I praised God. I freaked out. Because what else can you do? She jumped up and she started praising God. She hadn't been able to speak in I don't even know how many years. They asked her, are you hungry? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They sent her to the kitchen. She polished 2 plates of food right there. Boom. She hadn't eaten in who knows how long. How do I know? Because they followed her with video cameras and we could see it all on the TVs, on the screens. Was that a miracle? Oh, yes, it was. Did I want to stay there? Oh, yes, I did. But God had other work for me. I had to come back. Point I want to make is this. The living water that flowed there flowed into me. When I came back from that place, I felt a change in me. Something in me was different. Did my faith level climb? Oh, yes, it did. How can your faith level not climb when you see the power of God in a way that you've never seen before? Now you know what God is capable of. One thing that really impressed me that night. They had an evening service. It was about 7 o'clock at night. I think it was on the Wednesday night. We were there for 10 days. It was on the Wednesday night. The place is packed. To give you an idea, this shack, which is about 4 times the size of Ellis Park, that's literally what it is. It's a big shack that goes on and on and on and on. It's massive. It can seat 100,000 people. And it's scary to be in there with that many people because it's like, this is the way you walk, you know. It's like, there's just people everywhere. He says, it's time to separate the wheat from the chaff. Okay. Now, we don't really know what he's talking about, but apparently he gets witches from all over Nigeria that come there to curse and put spells and, you know, to do damage to the ministry and whatever. So he says, come, come, everybody pray, everybody pray. Pray the blood of Jesus over you. Pray the blood of Jesus over your family. So we're all praying the blood of Jesus over our family. And then at one stage, there's worship going, and he just gets up, he says, witches and wizards, be gone. As he says those words, all over the church, you hear people begin to scream. That night there must have been 50 of them. They fall down on the floor. They literally, their legs cross and their arms cross, like they are bound. And there they sit screaming. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. So he walks up to them. He says, who are you? Ah, I'm so and so and so and so. Oh, okay. What you doing here? Ah, my powers told me to come here to kill you. And when they use the word powers, it's their demons. And then he says something like, oh, how's that working for you? You know, like, he says, well, you know what? You came here for my God to show you who's boss. For the rest of the night, you will be in this place. That whole night, they were sitting there. They shuffled on their bums. But they couldn't get up. The next day, they had another meeting. He walked up to them. He said, God has revealed to you today who's in charge, who's God. I can't tell you what to do, but if you realize today that the one you're serving is not who he told you he is, God will set you free. Do you want to be free? And oh, yeah. And then he just, I can't remember what he says, but it's like, let's say be free or whatever. It looks like those people explode. Some of them jump up in the air, do somersaults. They roll like dynamos, screaming, and then suddenly, eventually they get up and they're free. If you see stuff like that, it blows your mind. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. My question is, what is inside of you? What is inside of you that you are not aware of? What has God and you spoken about while you were still with him that you were so excited to come to the earth for, so that you could do these things for God, and now you've forgotten all about it, but your spirit still knows and just needs to get that spark to get going again? Because you see, I'm no different from you and you're no different from me. We all like that. All of us have something inside. Paul goes so far as he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God put many treasures inside of you. Many. Some of you, you haven't even found the first tiny little diamond. Never mind the massive chest full of treasure. What are treasures in God's sight? In God's sight, treasure is not a big bank account. In God's sight, treasure is not the car you drive, the house you stay in, your position or your status. It's what God put in you for his glory. It could be the gift of faith. It could be the working of miracles. It could be the gifts of healings. It could be a call to an evangelist. It could be a teaching anointing. Who knows? But I know that I know that I know that you have it, because it's in all of us. You see, none of you come from the devil. The devil doesn't give, the devil takes. You all came from God, and you were all equipped. How do we begin to understand what we were equipped with? God has to work in your life. God has to reveal it to you. I'm finishing up. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, nothing has prepared you for what God is about to do. So something is coming. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. In other words, without the Spirit, you will never have it revealed to you. Okay? The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who amongst men knows the thoughts of a man except man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. God wants you to understand what God has given you, but outside of the Holy Spirit, you will never know. It is imperative that we come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It is imperative that we come to a place that we open our hearts and we say, Lord, let the wind blow in my life. Why do I say the wind blow? Because Jesus said the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he's going, and so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The more we allow the wind of God to blow in our life, the more he is going to blow away the rubbish and reveal what God put there. And the more we come under that anointing, the more what God put in there will rise up and begin to surface. I was in an NG church many years ago, trying to mind my own business, and God had other plans for me. God didn't force nothing on me. God left it up to me to make the final decision. But it was a no-brainer. Because when I felt and experienced who God really is, my spirit stood up and said, this is what I've been waiting for. My flesh had no chance that day. My flesh wanted to leave. Probably it was my own spirit that said, sit, boot. We're not done yet. And I praise God for that. And I want to say something to you. I'm not special when it comes to that. The way God works with me is the way God works with everybody. You need a hunger. Jesus said, come to me all ye who are thirsty. He was talking about the Holy Spirit that would be poured out. One thing you have to understand. If you cannot come to a place that you are truly thirsty for the things of the Spirit of God, God will not waste the living water on you. The living water is truly for those that have a thirst for the things of God. When you really become thirsty, God knows it, God sees it, and God is going to quench your thirst. But it's not for people that are like, let's give it a go, we'll see how things, you know. That's not being thirsty. That's wasting God's time. That's going to get you nowhere. Become thirsty. Know that there's more to your life than what you realize right now. Know that inside of you there is a treasure that God wants to reveal to you. And the purpose of that treasure is not to make you look good, it's to make God look good. Amen. Know that God desires to use everyone. Listen to me. If God could use a donkey, why can't he use you? Can you give me one good reason? No, you can't. We need a hunger. We need a thirst. And I do believe God's going to give us the desire of our heart. The Bible says God will grant you the desires of your heart. The problem is some people's desires in their heart are wrong. Your desire in your heart must also be in line with what God's called you to do. We can't all be president, can we? One person is called to be that. Others are called to do other things. Say again. No, you definitely, you can't. If you run the country, we in big doing. Yeah, I can tell you now. Anyway, I've been in ministry now for 20 years. I never expected to be in ministry. Nowhere in my life, nowhere in my past did I even once think about that. But that's in line with the scriptures. Because nowhere could I think that way until God touched me. When God touched me, it awoke something in me that was always there, but I was never aware of it. And once that stood up, it began to take my life in a completely different direction. Can that happen to me again? Oh, yes, it can. I'm still going to go in that direction, but God will branch me where he wants me to go. Amen? Today, I would like to pray for you, for the power of God to come upon your life, for God to fill you with the Spirit of God, for you to begin with that process no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you who love Him. Did my life change? You cannot believe how much it changed. Do I have my own challenges? I got plenty, more than most people. But I don't care. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about life. I'm going forward. And I do believe God wants you to come to that same place. Does the Spirit of God heal? Oh, yes, He does. Does the Spirit of God set captives free? Oh, yes, He does. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captives free. He has anointed me to heal the sick. When the Spirit of God is present, healing and deliverance will always take place. Oh, I wanted to say to you one of the things that really blessed me, and then I'm finished. We had an evening service. They had locked up the witches. They were all like on their bums, you know, all over the church. They all went to one place. And so now you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, man, how ridiculous has that been? And so he says, there is a woman here. You have decided to leave your husband. The two of you had a big fight just before you came to church. And on the way, yeah, you have decided that you are going to leave him. You are going to pack your bags. In fact, you already packed some of your bags before you came to church. After the service, you are going to move out. God says you better not do that because you're going to make a big mistake. Come forward. Of course, nobody moves. It's like, well, you can't be talking to me. He gives that same call. Nothing happens. The third time he says, woman, it's time for you to open your ears. God is talking to you. And apparently you think that I'm not talking to you, but I want to tell you, for you to know that God knows everything about you, you've got a mole on this side of your bum. The next moment this woman comes running, screaming from the back. I tell you what, after that we were all sitting there, oh Lord, you know, I repent, I'm so sorry. But I tell you, I knew that I was in the presence of God. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. God was in the house. We better respect. Amen. Did anybody learn something? Give the Lord a big hand, please.